To full spectrum science. We all know that impossible things happen. Are they impossible simply because they defy false rules that we have been taught? Can a change in the way we understand new science change our reality? Yes, it can. Welcome to Full Spectrum, where we explore the forbidden territory of fringe science, new technology, ancient technology, and indeed organic technology. You and me. You and me. An occasional show featuring JP and sometimes a guest, or sometimes a council of geekdom. Where does it lead? Mostly it's up to you, but ultimately, onwards and upwards. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, hang on. Is it... Oh, God. Hang on a second. I'm getting... Is that me? Which one's... Yeah, I'm getting some terrible technical issues. Hang on. Let me just adjust this speaker cable here. Yes, I can hear myself now. Good evening, good afternoon. Yes, it's me, JP. And, will I have a guest? If you want, find me a guest and I'll give you a guest, and you'll have a guest. Or if anybody wants to call in, the telephone lines are open. This is about a council of geekdom. What I'd like to do is pull together, all of the things that people have been doing or have been, talking about on my shows. You know, over the last 5 years, I've been kind of gathering nuggets of good science, of new science. I've, you know, been talking to people from the inside of the industrial complex, they understand things differently. And I recognize that, and I recognize that's not what I was taught in school. And in fact, what I was taught in school, as I've gone on and on and on, did everything to dishearten me as an inventive scientist, and to reduce me to just software. Oh well, never mind. That's the way it happened. But what I've realized, and I think we've all come to, you know, we're all starting to learn, is that there are what we knew as, you know, what's the word? Unbreakable rules of the universe. You know, what goes up must come down. You know, gravity is this, the apple falls, therefore everything falls, you know. So, but the thing is, when you scale up to a planet, the size of a planet, the planet is not falling. Well, not in the way that you think. So, what's this gravity thing all about? And how come there are these craft that are skittering across the sky, defying these apparent immutable laws? As I say the word immutable laws, there's Vanessa. You should call in, you know. I was looking away from the screen and I looked back as I said the words immutable laws, and there it was written, immutable laws. There you go, sweetheart. Thank you. You are now about 2 minutes ahead of time. Brilliant. So, anyway, so where we were is we were talking about the idea, for instance, that gravity is not what we're told it is. It's not a sucky force. And that the only reason magnets do this sucky thing together is because of vortices and vortex management and currents and directions and pullings and things. So we now start to think of things in terms of vortices and rotation instead of static forces and fields, and even understand that a field is a vortex. and that it all in ultimately takes on the same kind of toroidal shape. Let's have a look. Let's see what Eagle Eye is saying. Audio clean and good. Clean and good. Why don't you join the conversation, Mr. Rob? Call me. Just like, you know, you're listening. Yin Yang and Moon Tang. Call me in. Call up. And, because I want to talk about stuff. You know, it's good to start from where somebody understands something and apply the appropriate level of next steppiness to level people up, to take people to the next level. I'm a font. I found out, I'll tell you, in fact, I'm paying attention in depth, but pick up a concept. Where is Cliff High when you need him? Yeah. Actually, maybe I should give him a call. Hang on. he's offline, but he may be just lurking. Anyhow, yeah, the last thing he said, all relates to the triune self claimed by Tesla to be the secret behind the 6 and the 9. Yeah, that was the last thing Cliff said to me. Fine, Cliff, hi. Bless his heart. Actually, maybe I'll take a little break and put some music on and go and put wood in the stove, because I know that it's going to burn out in a minute. I'll be freezing for the rest of the evening. So, no, he didn't call us now. But I'm going to just put on some music. And did you enjoy my intro? I thought I was quite pleased with that. So let's have some. Oh, yeah. This is a great tune. This is by a band called Visage, and the name of the singer was Steve Strange, so it's all very strange. So this is Visage, Fade to Grey. Oh yes, the Visage. I love that tune. Fades are great. I especially like that little kind of the way the chords. I love that bit. Anyway, crazy. So I don't care, because this is kind of where I can be even more anarchic than I am on any other show, because it's just like me talking about stuff that. This is stuff that kind of sits in the back of my mind most of the time. And it underlies part of how I think about the world, right? So, you know, I've spoken about it. It's basically what I call my weird opinions on things. Okay. Sorry, Rob. My weird opinions on things, that gravity is a pushing force, and that the Earth is expanding, and it's all about vortexes and or vortices. So into the vortex we go with Rob from New Mexico. Hi, Rob, how are you? Why can't I hear you? Are you muted? Can you hear me? Oh, that's very interesting. Well, he was working a while ago. Now I can hear something happening. Did you turn on your mic? No? I can hear your mic kind of clicking now. Can you hear me? Ah, this is good. This is the highest tech show in the world. Echo. You're hearing an echo. Can you hear me? You're here. Yes? You are here, but I cannot hear your voice. And I'm pretty sure that I can hear things. Let me just check by playing the station. The gravity. Yeah, that's me saying the gravity. So, Rob, are you there yet? Patient, be patient.
Yeah, right. I'm here.
There you are.
I'm here in another show.
I got a little delay there.
Rob from New Mexico.
Hey.
There. Now you're still
doing great, JP. How are you doing, my friend? It's nice to hear your voice here on Wolf Spirit.
You've still got your radio player. You're not. You haven't got your Skype activated. Are you there? All right. All you can hear, actually, Rob, is me coming through your radio.
and you've muted Skype, but you've enabled your radio, so you're going to hear me 2 minutes down the line, which is going to be a very strange time-space
thing. We made it happen here in the high-tech world. We just had to get the spiral spin in JP, and now I think we're back in business, my friend.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive.
Ah, that was a real-time response, yes?
Yes, I am positive.
We're real-time now. Actually, you were. Do you get what I was saying? You were actually listening to me like 2 minutes ago. It was a very change. So...
it was a fun loop.
You're displaying your avatar here is a Hanabu Nazi spacecraft UFO type creature device here, and you have spun in through time and space. Hang on, let's see if I can find the appropriate. Is it this one? Yeah, there we go. It's a sort of TARDIS sort of thing, but it's not really a TARDIS. It's more like the... yeah, that'll do. Maybe we should get Doc Who and talk about it. So, anyway, Rob, how are you doing, mate?
Yes,
my show is basically about what's called black science, or like what I'd want to call is full spectrum science, which is the science for the non-colorblind, the science for the people who want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what they're told and accept what they're told. So this could indeed go into areas of healing and medicine and things like that. But essentially, I want to talk about the science that has been, the science of Area 51, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was listening earlier, and I heard someone mention the primordial ooze, JP?
The primordial soup, yeah, and is there soup, a stock yeah. cube yeah, mm-hmm. for primordial soup?
I found that kind of interesting, and I kind of connected it with the black goo, the good stuff, the bad stuff. I thought about... Katrina, I thought about the Gulf, the situation that happened in the Gulf with the oil spill. And then I said, you know what? All of that, okay, that's that, but I need to talk and get my mind right with Shungite, cause that's the good stuff. That's the stuff that, that's the good ooze, the good soup, That's like our gift, JP.
Yeah, there's the stock cube. So now this is another... you just said something that is going to trigger the people who've been listening for the last couple of hours, right? Because we've been doing a show called the Andronicus Transmissions, right? And you don't know anything about Andronicus Transmissions, do you?
No, not at this time. I've just heard the word through your... But I haven't been involved.
Okay, so it's all on YouTube. I did a show on Monday, on Journeys, and I interviewed a lady called Jessica. And this is the lady who I've been working with. So that's her show we just finished. And it's a channeling sort of conversation with this being called Andronicus, who has had contact with Titans. And it's a very long story. It's a really long story. And starts off in the Andromeda Galaxy. But what's interesting is is the word you used. Now, you said Katrina. Yeah?
Yeah. I was just thinking, yeah, I did say that. You're
okay.
Right.
So there's these beings, right? There's these beings called... Katritons, and there's Katron.
Wow.
And Katriton becomes King Triton of Neptune, who becomes Neptune with his trident. The black goo is formed from these black stones that the Katritons had embedded in the back of their neck, that were then removed because they wanted to go rogue. So they then gave them to this character Andronicus, who thought, like, these things are evil, right? What do I want to do with them? So he threw them overboard and threw them into the sea in Neptune. That was like throwing Corex in. The skies darkened and the Neptune beings were enslaved for millennia. because of this. You know, it's really like very far. And you said the word Katrina, right? And corrects it. And all these Katrina, you know, these Kurt names. It's very interesting. Interesting indeed.
Yeah, it's good. And I appreciate being, however I'm being worked in the positive direction. You know, if it's for communication for the benefit of the planet, then let it be, JP. You know, that's why we're here. You know,
so yeah.
But real quick, I had a connection when you said Andronicus, and I feel like there's a connection with the planet Andromeda.
But he's a galaxy Andromeda.
Uh huh.
He's from a planet in the galaxy Andromeda, and so he is what we'd call an Andromedan from the galaxy Andromeda.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. Andromedan. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And there are these reptilians and reptiloids and humanoid reptilians, and one of them is a race that seem to call themselves after the guy in charge, you know. So if it was like Hitler's crew, they would be the Hitlers. You see what I mean? And in their... Because they're so egotistical, they are everything. They are all testosterone, these beings, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whoever's in charge, that's their name. So, and they have factions, and they all call it anyway. So, one of them's called Katron, one of them's called Katriton, and another one's called I can't remember. Anyway, they all have this. Yeah.
Why did I talk about a storm in the 90s, JP?
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we can expand more on that, or however you want to go, because it's definitely a strong connection.
Yeah. So there's Katron, right? Turns out, I believe, to be Metatron.
Ah.
Have you heard of Metatron?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. Metatron in Enoch.
Right. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. And then there's Katriton, who takes up residence on Neptune. Because it's nice there. It's like California. It's full of babes. It's like Hawaii.
Neptune's kind of the comfy, you know, kind of vacation planet there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Posh.
Yeah, nice. It was really nice, and then it got messed up because of the black goo.
The bad goo.
The bad black goo. Yeah.
Okay.
That darkened the sky. And so Jessica was speaking as having incarnated in that. In that place when Neptune was infected with the stuff. So this is like, we don't want this to happen here. We don't want the place to be taken over by the black goo. So this is part of our work.
Yeah, it's interesting. And did I hear Jessica mention that, was it possible that Zeus was the one that made the flood happen too?
Mm-hmm,
was that a...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, just what you said, JP, this is something we don't want to happen here.
Exactly. But and part of the show was like, why do we have to deal with this crap? You know? But we are their children in that way. Or we may be actually them. You know, we may be portions of Titans, soul fragments of Titans, having been traumatized and fragmented, that we all become a tiny piece of a fragmented, traumatized Titan trying to figure out the 12 labors of Hercules.
Mm.
You know, that we're all Hercules trying to figure out, you know, we're all a bit of Isis trying to gather Osiris back together. You
interesting.
See, all the stories are there, you know.
Does it have anything to do with the red-haired giants and maybe Enkel and Lenkel? And
Enki and Lil, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that something like that level, that you know they would be, maybe would they have been subservient to these giant gods we're referring to, or would they be on a same level, you know, parallel?
It's all a world of domination and control, and there's like everybody's got their little kingdoms, you know.
Okay.
So you could imagine, say, Genghis Khan had a kingdom at the same time as Teotihuacan or something, you know. That they would coexist at the same time, but they wouldn't necessarily meet with each other because they'd be happy in their own kingdoms. You see, so
Genghis Khan, the conqueror, wasn't he Chinese? Didn't he just rape and pillage everything?
Mongolian, yeah, had sex with just about everything, ate and conquered everything else.
Didn't they say in one of those books we mentioned earlier that there were fallen angels that came and impregnated the women of the earth? And,
oh yeah.
So I'm just, you know, while I got you here, JP, I'm kind of curious, you know, if it's all right if I just ask, because
you mentioned
Genghis Khan, and I, in my mind, in my studies, I for some reason see him as, you know, one of those, we'll just say, malevolent gods that had the ego, that had the power, and just, you know, raped, pillaged, dominated. And it has to do with a lot of the, you know, the stories that we've heard and, you know, lore in the past. And it's almost like, you know, I don't know if I want to say I want to believe in reincarnation or not, but is it possible that Genghis Khan was maybe someone reincarnated from another time that also was in that, you know, set of
Okay, let's throw a few pieces together. I'm hearing you, right?
Okay, thank you.
Now, did you ever see Star Trek? Are you a Star Trek fan at all, by any chance?
Yeah, I enjoy Star Trek.
Okay,
yes.
So we're now learning from the last episode of Star Trek and from previous episodes of the film of this character called Khan. Right? Khan, now it turns out, we understand, he is a super soldier. Right? What are super soldiers injected with? Implants. Who knows how many super soldiers have been injected with black goo?
Wasn't that Ricardo Montalban?
Well, is it good? So could you say that in English?
Ricardo Montalban was the actor, I think.
Oh, I don't know about the actor. Anyway, Khan. Khan is a super soldier that goes rogue. You see, and that's the story of the consequences of what happens when one of your super soldiers goes rogue. Now,
right, chaos.
What if that happened in the past? What if these titans, these beings that we're coming across, these men of Ketriton and all these guys who take off their black stones because they think they're going to be free, still have that malevolent spirit in them? Now, the malevolent spirit came from the guy who commanded them was called Kraton.
Okay.
He went to some planet where he discovered this black stone, and what we discover is that, you know, he basically wanted a battlefield walkie-talkie kind of thing. And he discovered that this black stone, if inserted in places, you could program it, and it would also keep you in contact with other pieces of itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
Tell us about
stone, and then extension stones all would be connected within that same vibration, that same, you know, helix.
Yeah, so I need to go and get my kettle there. Can you tell me what you know about things that do that? I mean, these are battlefield communication systems. We've got something like that now, haven't we?
Well, what you're talking about, 900 megahertz, wireless, telepathy, there's many forms of communication on the battlefield, JP. But, you know, as far as frequencies go, I'm sure they're controlled by many forces and probably transponded from satellites. And, you know, you wonder if you think about the rocks, you know, how they could actually hold an energy and then be connected to an extension of that rock, how everything could possibly connect with the intent of that original rock, how everything extended could also, you know, perform the same intent. So, I mean, it's interesting how the crystal, you know, we'll just say the crystal matrix can form into an electronic device and then actually have that correspondence to any of its attached connections. So, I mean, on the battlefield, JP and listeners, I mean, there's obviously many forms of, I would assume, wireless communication that takes place. And I don't know, I try to look beyond that. I'm more with the mind, you know, I work with intent, and I try to avoid the, you know, the electronic, but I gotta respect, you know, people in the battlefield, you know, for communication. So
I mean, we've come across
people like Duncan O'Finnian and his battlefield partner, because what they did is they literally trained him and her as a psychic team, and she would remote view the area around him, so she would be like a Tinkerbell. She wasn't anywhere on the battlefield, but he was, but she was kind of around him, and they would work psychically together. And that's a real thing. This is not now. This is like how many years ago? God knows how many years ago. 40 years ago that they were doing this stuff. So what might they have now? You see?
Mm.
So
now, well, I just had a flash back of the movie Dune, you know, when they had the Emperor had its own psychic that he worked with on the side, that the bald woman, do you remember that?
The Bene Gesserits.
Yes.
Right. Now the Bene Gesserits are the Aldebaranian, and they're connected with Maria Orsic. She's an right. It turns out through this story, right? It turns out that Maria Orsic is an Andromedan who has gone rogue. She sought after power, and so she's going around, hanging out through using time travel as well to find out where the most optimal power sources are. She's beautiful but deadly.
She's hanging around CERN. Maybe we can send her a shungite necklace.
Yes. Oh, by the way, this is a message from Vanessa. Khan was played by the brother of Ricardo Montalban.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It says here. Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa.
Facts check.
It's good. It's good that we've got Vanessa. She's brilliant, I have to say.
I could just say, I feel your energy, Vanessa, right now, and it's beautiful.
So,
thank you.
Well, you know, we're talking about like how the black goo and the black stone has affected these beings. So our consciousness needs to go towards the way of circumventing it, and all these things. I'm just thinking about Doctor Who and all this stuff, and it's all about darkness and the shadows and all this stuff.
Right, and the consciousness and the awareness, and it just made me think of the shungite as maybe an EMF shield, you know, which allows the true energies to get through. You know, having, you know, like a shungite type protection, you know, the meteorite we're talking about, the good black goo, provides, you know, something, you know, really special. And you know, I'm sure our friend Megan Bell can talk about that, right, JP, about how you can have, you know, protection, you know, with certain elements that help you, you know, perform at your best. And I just think that's great that we can decipher the good and the bad, JP.
My thinking is going towards the idea of gut flora. You know gut flora?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You know, if you take too many antibiotics and you kill off your gut flora, you then endanger your internal ecology by allowing too much yeast to take over, for instance. And you know what happens when yeast takes over?
Oh, no. Yeah, you know what you do, what you're talking about. You're making room for the nung.
The nung, yes. Ooh. But so having a healthy gut flora means you have a healthy ecology. What about if there is a health... We need actually to have some form of carbon nanite. And that if we have shungite, it means that we don't get the black goo. But if we don't have the shungite, the black goo can get to you. There's a thought. Oh, that's a sinister thought, because we need to get... Because if that's the case, there's only going to be 10 non-zombies in the planet. You know, there's going to be 8 people in a boat. None is coming, I feel it too. But yeah, I mean, there's a thought, you know. If you're infected by the black goo, this is the connection with the SS. Because what does SS stand for, Rob? Do you know?
Secret Service?
No, it stands for Schwarzestein. Remember, it was German. What does Schwarzestein mean? Schwarzer? What does Schwarzer mean?
Probably a Yang term of war or something.
And it means black.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger. you know.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Interesting, the etymology we've got there.
Yeah, it means black, and Stein, you know, is stone. So Schwarze Stein means black stone.
Wow.
And so they were the brotherhood.
Put that together, JP.
Can't get the player to work. Rosetta Server is offline. Uh-oh. We seem to be attacked here, there, and everywhere. Let me just go and check the broadcaster here.
I got thumbs up here.
All right. Settings are still working.
But I'm so glad that you're putting out the correlation between, you know, the goos, and I really like to hear the primordial soup and how it all is connected, because, you know, everyone has like little bits and pieces, but, you know, you got to come here with you, JP, to kind of put the puzzle together, you know, at a nice level so we can all understand, you know. And
yeah,
it's nice when people can share, you know, everyone's, you know, part of the puzzle. Good goo. Ooh.
Here's some 432 goo.
Yeah. I felt the good right away.
A bit of 432 candy. So, yeah. When we're taught stuff in school,
mm-hmm.
we get, you know, there's gravity, let go of the apple, FUD. You know, there's gravity, guys. But, sir, what's gravity? Shut up. Next, here's magnets. Look, magnets stick to each other. Sir, how does that work? Shut up. We don't know. But it seems to be something to do with the way that atoms are held together, that are held in some sort of... And I've been thinking about this today. You know, how to make a magnet? How does magnetization work? It's something...
Lodestone.
Lodestone, yeah. How come lodestone works? And
molecular structure?
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking about, how does this work? How do you keep a magnet? How do magnets work? And what is a magnet? So let's have a look at magnets. The world of the magnet. Okay. Splingy bling. Inside a magnet is arrangements of molecules, as is everything, but they're arranged in a special sequential way. I have the feeling they're arranged in a kind of swirling pineapple-type pattern inside the molecules of this stuff. Because what I feel is going on is some form of counter repulsion, i.e. that every atom is a magnet. Every atom has a rotational force. Every atom spins and has a vortex. So it has, it's like an apple shape. If you imagine an apple shape, you have a flow that is coming up like a reverse whirlpool coming down from the bottom, the whirlpool goes up into the middle and then comes up as a sort of reverse whirlpool and then floods around like a fountain, only to be gathered together at the bottom again and then coming back up. So if you can freeze that energy somehow, that's what a magnet is. Because that's what a magnetic field is. It's a vortex. And so if you put two of them together and their vortexes are flowing in the same direction, then yes, the pool in the so-called South Pole will pull the vortex of the other South Pole towards it from the inside. That's the North Pole. And so magnets will stack together in that lovely way because the whirlpools are all aligned. Now if you try and put the whirlpools against each other, they won't do that. South Pole against South Pole and North Pole against North Pole, they rotate in the opposite directions and push away. So essentially that's how magnets work. Any questions?
Positive charge, repel. Negative charge, repel. Positive charge, negative charge, attract. Maglev, the Japanese, took the science to a whole nother level. 500 kilometer mile an hour trains, maglev. I love magnets, JP.
Yeah, we all love magnets, you know. When we're kids, you know, we're given magnetic things, you know. Oh, there's this lovely magnetic toy that kids started eating. Great idea. Never eat magnets. Never eat magnets, especially more than one. Because if you eat more than one magnet, one of them will be stuck halfway down the bend, and the other one will be stuck halfway down the other bend, and they'll pull together and pinch together, and it'll A, hurt, and B, somebody's going to kind of have to cut it out.
Kids. You got a warning, JP, for any of you kids that are going to eat a magnet. Yeah. Only eat one.
Don't eat more than one magnet. If you're going to eat a magnet, don't eat two. See, this is the cure of addiction. You know, it's like you've been infected. You can't have another one.
It was a numb craving.
Yeah, it was a craving. Anyway, so don't eat magnets and don't eat multiple magnets. But here's the thing: the magnets are a energetic storage, because you know this magnet is doing work. It's, you know, you can hold a pair of scissors onto a wall with a magnet. You glue a magnet to my, you know, I do this. You know, I take the. The best magnets, by the way, are out of computer hard drives. So if you've got the right tools, you can open one of these things up. You can rip out this thing. But not only that, and I'm yet to see anybody in the YouTube community use this thing, because most of the time they throw it away. But the magnet in a hard drive is mounted on a piece of material that is a magnetic shield. Nobody's talked about it yet. This will be the next thing you will see on the YouTubes, because, okay, so Cliff High, several years ago, back to mentioning Cliff, spoke about the new electrics. And the new electrics is about the way that the people are figuring out how to do it all by themselves, and putting up what they know on YouTube, and then other people on YouTube picking up on that idea, improving it and sending it back, creating an open source brainstorm of real things. And that's what he's calling the new electrics. Now, that is also coming in line with what's going on here. You see?
Yeah.
And
it's almost nano, type size, energy you're talking about.
Yeah, a nano power station that just runs a house. You know, and it's this. So, what Cliff has been talking about is these new electrics. Now, I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure that also along the lines of this is MT Keshe. Now, I don't. Have you seen the video, Rob?
Kesha?
Yeah.
Yes.
The latest one.
With the coffee maker and the copper.
No, the 10-day one.
Ah, oh no! Please enlighten us.
All right. Well, about a week ago, he said, "In 10 days, I will release to everybody." All right. So let's say a week ago, he held a meeting with ambassadors from as many countries as he could find, and gave a talk, a demonstration, and a free doodad to every ambassador with plans on a disc. And so he's given them 10 days to go back to their people and say, okay, right, so his proposal is implement my stuff, but you must be at peace. Right, so you either take this free energy for every single man, woman, and child in your country, or not. Or war.
Pretty interesting how you can put an ultimatum to free energy.
However he's going to do it, in 10 days' time, he's going to release the plans to do this so that every man, woman, and child on this planet can actually build one of these things for themselves.
I appreciate his efforts and the intent, so I'm all for peace, so I just let that be known that I think it's fascinating if it comes through.
and it works.
So you get a
fascinating
for that. And so when we're talking about the new electrics, I was sending questions into Cliff when he was on Rebecca's show years ago, saying, when's the new electrics coming? And he was like, oh, you know, it's a long time. And now we're in 2015. It's like, oh, it's actually not far away from the time that he said it would come and that we'd be working with it. And I didn't realize that I'd be sort of somewhere.
Time traveler.
Somewhere watching this thing happening. Yeah. I was talking to him about this, you know, about, you know, how the cycles come round, whether he says it's going to happen in 2 years or in 20 years, it's still going to happen in January, you know, because that's the association. It's which. Yes.
Yeah, nanoelectronics, high tech, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, is there any alien influence with some of these gadgets, you know? I mean, Where did a lot of this, you know, learning come from? You know, past life? Was it, you know, where did it come from,
JP? Well, that's an interesting thing. Hang on, let me just, I'm just going to restart my end of the server.
Okay.
And then restart the CentOvercast server because everybody's moaning, so stop moaning. Right, okay, sorry about that.
It's a spiral that we spin in.
And it's spinning round. Which server's working today? Oh, yes.
Like a record, baby. Round, 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 round.
Oh, wow. More tech. Maybe I should play 80s techno on this show.
There you go.
Yeah. So, welcome, everybody. Yes, no audio. So, I have restarted. Please refresh your page. Yes. Okay, player on page working. Hello, Vanessa. You're the first. Oh, she's always the first. She's a good girl. Anyhow, yep, it's good here. Good, 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 good. Krista Nelson's still in the chat room. After seven, I think more than 6 days. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. So, let's go back to the magnet. So the magnet is an apple form. We've seen the magnetosphere of the Earth and the Sun, and we see that it's this same pattern, this apple shape. And if we slice an apple, we see that, you know, it goes up and it goes down and it goes to the vortex in the middle. Where the seeds are, there's a vortex. So the vortex is something that is causing a spin. Something that is like two jets, for instance. Say you had two hose pipes and you pointed them in opposite directions and they were spinning around, a cylinder. You know, and you point them in opposite directions, eventually the water would start spraying around and it would be going in both directions. And so you have two vortexes that then form somehow. I don't know what would happen. I'm sure that would be an interesting experiment if you did that. You can find... No moaning now, both players are working. Okay.
Space Play-Doh.
So you've got these vortexes that are spinning in counter-rotating directions. That creates a field. This is what they use. So what happens if one is spinning in more one direction than another? That might produce your electromagnetic or your scalar. You know, it may be that different proportions of different directions produce the different waves, like electromagnetic or scalar, if you see what I mean. A scalar is the electric of the, it's like magnetoelectric as opposed to electromagnetic. Yes. Does that make sense?
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
And maybe for the listening audience, JP, scalar, electricity, scalar radiation, scalar energy of all sorts. Maybe you can help clarify, because I'm sure a lot of us listening, me too, don't necessarily know the specifics of scalar. Yeah. And I know that there's some benefits to it, and I know that there's some extreme negatives to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you feel about it? And like, say, a power grid that releases, you know, scalar energy, like in a smart grid. But that's what I'm...
Well, that would be handy. You know, if we could actually... for instance, you can put a 432 signal into a scalar coil, and the scalar coil is called a caduceus. And what it does... is it does exactly what I was just saying on the cylinder. If you had a hose pipe, if you had a hose pipe with two or rather, let's start again. Say you had a barrel, and you had two hose pipes, and you pointed the hose pipes in each direction, and you sprayed them both into the barrel. The water would eventually find some way of accommodating both of those spins. And that would be some kind of vortex in the middle. It would be
gravitational mesh. They would, molecularly would have a mesh with each other, kind of like the lava lamp.
That sort of thing. So, there's our vortex. And when you, okay, so what a scalar is, right, so let's take a wave, right? We got our radio waves emanating. Alright, so if you take a coil, right, you take a single piece of wire, and you put a voltage at either end of those pieces of wire, that wire will become a magnet, alright, because it will become an electromagnet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you coil that thing around, it will increase the field strength of that electromagnet. If you made it longer and made more coils, you'd get a stronger field strength, more and more and more and more. If you can, then you can pulse that field, and what we'll then do, it will start sending out ripples in the magnetic field. And that's what's called an electromagnetic field. And that's what a radio transmitter does. So if you had a coil that had the same number of turns on it, or used the same frequency as you were pulsing this thing, you were able to decode the information and receive a radio signal, or indeed a digital TV signal or whatever.
Interesting. You said coil, and I just immediately thought of the spiral.
Yeah.
And then I just had a flashback to the Tesla coil, but, that's more...
All energy moves in a spiral. Right, so energy likes going through coils, and when it's going through coils, it gets so joyous it throws off its joy as a magnetic field.
Ah,
right,
happy energy, yay!
Yeah, so what you do is you pulse it very, very quickly, millions of times a second, and that's what we call a Wi-Fi signal, or a radio signal, or Bluetooth, or stuff like that. You pulse a coil, and it emits an electromagnetic field. Yeah?
Interesting. Yeah, I see a vibratory signal off that.
So that's how they do it. That's how everything works in our modern world. But the trouble with the Wi-Fi is that it pulses as a square wave. And square waves have very sharp edges in the trillions of hertz and the quintillions, petabillions of hertz. So what we end up with is something that is a really, really high frequency that is breaking up atoms on that level. You know, it's breaking down electrons and throwing photons in the mix and stuff.
So
like
square
that.
Wave, not good. Kind of like the cube in Saturn.
Yeah. So then, that's what the shungite does, is to round off those edges.
Nice. That's important.
You see.
And that's like everyone should have that, then.
That's why we all need a bit of shungite. So, who knows that the bad black goo has very sharp edges? Maybe, or something.
Yeah.
Who knows what that does?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I have no solution for the bad black goo yet. I'm certain that it exists, because I'm certain in a positive outcome. Now, what did Nikki say? She's a catastro-optimist or something. Apocalyptimist. Somebody who thinks things are going to go to shit, but they'll be all right in the end. So that's
JP, I got to get something cleared up. And I said
clear up,
before,
clear up, Rob.
Wrongly with the Katrina.
Katrina.
Yes, I also had Cryon too, but I didn't get that through at the time. But I think of the BP oil spill, and I think of the goo. I think of the oil, and you know, the corruption that took place to the environment. And, you know, what do you think about that, JP? Is there something bigger behind that? I know Doc Who has mentioned something about that, but I want to get your opinion.
Have you not heard about the black goo?
Well, I have, but I'm really curious how it's connected to the BP.
Well, this is the thing, the black goo came from under the water. That field is what they were actually trying to get to, the black goo. Send the goo home. Well, here's the thing.
Who said that?
Vanessa, this is Vanessa.
Send the goo home. That was good.
Go home, black goo. You're drunk. So, here's the thing. Is the Falklands War was apparently fought over the black goo. The black goo exists in boxes in Rome, in Berlin, in London, in Washington. And is probably connected with satanic ritual, is probably connected with global mind control, is probably connected with global banking, is probably connected with the Brotherhood of Blackstone, is probably connected with the Nazis and Hitler, is probably connected with New Schwabenland and New Berlin in Antarctica, where all these, where New Berlin, which is probably a Tesla-like free energy society, you never know. New Berlin might actually be quite a fantastic place to live in, were it not for the fact that it's run by Nazis. And indeed, the Nazis might not be as bad as they were, because we've seen that, you know, there seem to be worse bullies. Who knows? No, I don't think so. I don't think the Nazis are the good people. Generally.
But the goo.
But the goo.
You know,
maybe
we come into this world,
yeah.
What do we say? Goo goo gaga, right?
Goo goo, goo, gaga. Goo gaga. So here's the thing. Perhaps the Nazis are very good people, but they've been infected by goo. Like everybody bad. And like Genghis Khan may have been infected by goo, and the goo makes him go out and kill and slaughter and la-di-da-di-da, but he didn't really want to. He wanted to be more of a lover.
He probably had a real bad dose, though, if that's the case with Genghis.
Yes. Now, here's Vanessa. It swears that the black goo, as well as nuclear radiation, will be fixed. It will wind up being simple, and I just feel it's something to do with frequencies. Well, you know, I have the feeling that might be very true. Excellent.
Interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when we're talking about elements and meteorites and rocks and different components of the universe and how they're formulated energetically and used for good, for bad. And, you know, we definitely want to spiral it into the good, JP, you know. And that's why we do have the Shungite. We're really fortunate to find that. And Walt Silva and his creative experimentation has taken us here and everyone involved. To a whole nother level of science, and, you know, using this organic matter, you know, to benefit us as people, you know, and it's just a really, really powerful, energetic, harmonizing energy. When we're talking, I think 60 was that a 60 cycle? What's the 60 hertz with the Shungite, JP?
Shungite enough 60 hertz.
There's something with the 60 carbon C60 carbon molecule
right.
of Shungite, yeah, and how it performs the. Just the EMF, and then, like you were talking about, the spirals.
Yeah. Well, look,
and how it actually takes the negative scalar and spins it around and puts it into the positive direction.
Okay, let's build the picture. The picture of this is imagine a structure in space. You're in the Enterprise and you see this thing, and it's an enormous kind of crystal-like structure, they're in the middle of this essentially two geodesic domes stuck together, like the Venus Project, you know, like one of those golf balls that they have on the radar domes, you know, just like big one of those, and in the middle there's a black hole. Now what happens is that you're drawn in through the holes and then spat out through the other holes, you see. And when you come out the other side, you're the same person, but you've been kind of teleported. So you've been moved. Your essence remains, but what was gone is now gone.
Interesting. Teleportation through the goo.
Through the black. So this is like Shungite. This is what Shungite does. It has a. So imagine that scaled up millions and millions and billions and billions of times. Yeah.
You know, I've been told that Shungite can be possibly sprayed to counteract all these chemtrails. I've been heard of some many positive, you know, applications for Shungite, JP. And, you know, if anyone else has some ideas, please contact JP and, you know, we can talk about them more. But I can just share with you because I'm just fascinated by it. And, you know, just like the word you said earlier in the show, molecular, you know, the molecular structure and the vortices of this meteorite, you know, it's like just a gift from the universe, you know. Thank you, Gaia. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing, Rob, that 65 million years ago. No? Oh, really? Oh, I see. Hang on. 65 million years ago, there was a meteor that struck what is now known as the Yucatan Peninsula. It wasn't then. It was part of Pangaea. Pangaea did not occupy one side of the planet. Pangaea was the planet. There is no such thing as tectonic plates. Now we're going into my world, my weird world, where what we're taught in school is not true. Okay, so let's go to geography. Meanwhile, in our geography lessons, they said, oh yes, there are tectonic plates and la-di-da-di-da, and they're floating on magma and la-di-da-di-da, and Indians pushing into the Himalayas and la-di-da-di-da and la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And now, if you look at Google Earth, you can see where the planet has been stretching. Stretching and stretching and tearing. It's very much like the cap of a mushroom as it comes through the cowl, particularly like the fly agaric, you know, the fabulous fairy mushroom, that as it grows it has this little skin that eventually dries up and cracks, and little flakes are left as it grows and expands. And those are the little white dots on the back, on the red background of the mushroom. So everything happens in nature the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, even the earth plates have their own time for yoga. You know, tectonic yoga, they call it. You know, you gotta stretch out.
That's right. So the earth, for the last 65 million years, has been expanding. And coming back to M.T. Keshe's... empty cache. It sounds like empty your cache. Empty cache's prediction, right? The last thing he's been talking about. Okay, so he's giving free energy to everybody in 10 days. The other thing he says is that the big one, okay, if you look at Google Earth and you look at the Americas and you look at the space between the Americas, and then you look at the planet as if it's bulging and fit to burst and is looking to tear somewhere. And then you look at the two halves of North and South America, and you look at the Caribbean, and you look at the Pacific, and you can see a line that is like a tear that goes right underneath. And you can see that if the planet is bulging and that's going to start tearing apart, that's where it's going to happen. Can you see that?
Bulging planet.
Yeah, the expanding Earth. You can go to YouTube. Yes, Vanessa's saying there is a video. If you type expanding Earth theory it's by Neal Adams, N-E-A-L Adams, and he was a cartoonist, and he took the soundings from the
the U.S. Navy took soundings and dated the surface, the rock that existed all over the planet, and they discovered that the oldest material was near the continental shelf, and the youngest material was near the continental rifts, or the great rifts, they call them. The rifts are the fractures where the earth expands, and is very much like a turtle growing.
It's happened before, JP, and it's going to happen again. You know, it's just the law of nature, the law of the universe, the law of the world. I mean, let's just think real quick. In the 1800s, when the continental shift of the plates in the United States took place, it shifted, and the Mississippi River rotated its direction 180 degrees and went the opposite direction from this rotation, the expansion of the plate, the movement, and it's a reality that's just something that's just part of life, you know, and it's pretty neat, you know, it's just something we got to deal with, and hopefully, you know.
Well, it's planetary expansion. This is the thing, planetary expansion affects us all because we're all near the coast. Most people are within 50 miles of the coast. Now, if the coastline is nice and steep, you might have a chance. But if it's a nice kind of Netherlands-like sort of affair, you could be in line for a bit of a splash. So who knows? However, the thing is, there's a sense of great tension building up. I mean, I've personally had a migraine for the last 2 days. Or some sort of detox, or some sort of thing. I don't know. I'm not going to give it any words anymore. But it hurt a lot. I was very, very uncomfortable, and I couldn't sleep, and it was very unpleasant. And that was a couple of days ago, and I'm still not feeling 100% from it. It really knocked me for six. At the same time, all this stuff was going on with everybody else. You know, there were people going postal everywhere, and the web servers were going down, and you know, Hijacker was doing his thing on. He's a great barometer for idiocy, isn't he? Anyway, we've got all of these pressures that are applying to us at the moment, and I just got to feel that's something that we're feeling off the earth.
Yeah, like the animals have the senses. Prior to earthquakes and catastrophes, they feel it. You know, the birds, the dogs, the cats. I mean, you yourself are feeling the compression, shall we say, JP, and then hopefully the release. You know, was it a nice, like a toxic pass through, maybe like a free radical or something, or just some kind of a. Maybe just a little piece of bad goo, or maybe some bad nung that got, you know, wrapped up on the side.
I don't know. My nung I've allowed it free rein recently, and my girlfriend brought me sweets and stuff, so I've been eating.
You brought it to the forefront, my friend.
I've been eating candy, but I'm also knocking back the borax. That's what keeps it under control. I just have to hold up the thing, and okay.
Well, eat clay and rocks, you know.
Clay and rocks and borax, and everything will be fine. So yeah. Anyway, so back to the idea of what this show is about is to show that our thinking has been warped deliberately, and you know. In our favorite doom and gloom, Tracy had a show earlier, and she was talking about how the how archaeology has been warped and lied about, and that it's all part of a plan to kind of be this great revealing. Oh yes, we lied to you because la 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 la. Look at this. Here's what really went on with Jesus, and la 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 la. And it's all of a plot to kind of disillusion everybody, because if you don't know what's really going on, and suddenly somebody says, well, actually we've been lying to you, ha ha, and you idiots, you took it all in, you know, more fool you. That's going to be their attitude, which is like, oh, you bastards. That's not fair at all. You know, you can't educate a whole, you know, you can't traumatize and educate a whole bunch of people and then tell them that, oh, you were lying and that you were wrong, and then expect them to be happy about it. And just, you know, just to suck it up and say, oh, okay, well, what is the truth then? I'd be more like, here's a large piece of wood, and if you don't tell us the truth now, we're going to bring this large piece of wood together with this other piece of wood, and your head's going to be in the middle of it. You know, that sort of promise. Anyway, go ahead, Rob. Rob, where did you go? Oh, have I lost you? Or is your mic off? And radio has been acting up at the same time. No, I'm definitely still online.
Hopefully I should be there.
There you are. You're back now.
Yeah, what? And there's like the professors don't want any with anyone with any intellectual capacity would not want to risk tenure or any financial benefits in their future, you know, if they're in like a university situation. They're just going to stay with the common direction and not go against the grain, you know, that's really common out there. It's unfortunate. You know.
Yeah. And our astute Vanessa here again, by teaching scattered, unrelated facts, it's hard to see that all scientific truths are, in fact, simple. They blinded us with science. They did indeed.
They blinded me!
Blinded by the light.
Maybe. What's that next word? Elepigadusha.
Adusha. Wrapped up.
Elepigadusha. What is that word?
Wrapped up like a deuce. D-E-U-C-E. Okay. Like a brace. Two birds, you know?
Thank you.
Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
Okay.
I mean, this is sound a little bit it's different. Bruce Springsteen's song. He wrote that.
You gotta love the boss.
Boss! Somebody collected his phlegm one day and formed a nation all by itself. Anyway.
Can you hear the rain in the background here? We're having some moisture.
You got some moisture. We had loads of moisture and wind last night. We had a bit of a storm. It was quite nice.
How is the wood-burning stove going, JP, right now? Did you get your water and tea?
I cleaned my chimney today, so I got my hands... I look like Dick Van Dyke.
What's that stuff you're supposed to put in your chimney? Is it called creosote? Isn't that something?
Please no. Do not put creosote in your chimney. That will poison everybody in town.
Okay. There's like a what they call a creosote log that you burn, and it cleans out your chimney.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, it probably burns the inside of it. Anyway, so I stuck a brush up it, and it seems to have done the trick. It's lovely and clear. I'm getting a lovely clean burn.
How's your wood status?
And I have got lots of barrels. I got enough, nice. I got enough barrels to at least last me till December, and I've got barrel staves to last me through to February. And I'm probably going
to
get some more.
Something just came to mind.
Yeah, what?
I was really impressed with some cooking in the Far East, and I was fascinated with this. What do you think? Cooking with coconut shells as your source heat.
Well, somebody's got to, you know, look, if you can use it to build things, then use it to build things. If you can't use it to build things and flakes of it keep your garden warm, then, you know, use everything. And cooking with coconut, if you make loads of coconut shells, then use all the coconut shells, and you can probably get a nice barbecue flavor with things, and maybe even sell your hung up smoked meat with your barbecued coconut shells, you know, like hickory wood or something, you know?
And it made me think about the future, you know, if there could be a free energy device that would give us that same type of cooking heat right then in one little molecule right there, and there, you know, like a nano flame that will do anything for you.
Yeah.
Since we're talking tech and, you know, stuff.
Anyway,
it's possible.
I'm going to take the world burns so hot it takes out the crystal. I see. Right, I'm going to play my theme tune, the full thing, 3 minutes long. Oh, no, it's only about a minute and a half. There's about a minute and a half of silence, but didn't edit that. Anyway, so this is Seven Steps to Heaven.
Well, there you go.
It does last 3 minutes. Wonderful. Anyway, that was Seven Steps to Heaven. Those astute listeners will recognize that. I use a segment of that in my Ever Beyond program. That's how the rest of it goes. So, yes. Anyway, so... This Andronicus character is from the Andromedan galaxy, and we seem to have quite, you know, everything. It's we're everything Andromedan at the moment. We're all Andromeda. So we've also got Alex Collier, who is also an Andromedan contactee. Now, the thing about contactees, and this is something that I was talking with Simon Parks about, and what he said was quite an interesting thing, which is that people are contacted by their people. So if you have a lineage that goes back to Sirius D or Sirius Z or, you know, Deadly Sirius, you will be contacted by those people. And what then happens is that the government or the secret government spies who are watching what the extraterrestrials are doing will then abduct you and run you through another scenario that makes it a traumatic experience to hide the memories that they give you and the knowledge that they give you in order to make a better change, because you're here incarnated on this planet to turn around this black goo. We all are. This is what we're all, and this is why our people connect with us, and that is why the government, who is run by the black goo, is trying to make things different. Does that make sense?
JP.
Yeah?
You're awesome, buddy. Thank you.
Did that work?
Yeah.
Does that work for you? So now we've got things in perspective. Now, everything's Andromedan, so all Andromedan. So... they're not any different from us, except they're taller, and they also started out kind of innocent. And this is what we're finding out with Andronicus is, you know, he's going through this process, and he starts out as a very kind of passive, you know, slave race person. And the adventures of as he evolves and you know, discovers emotions, and he's discovering some pretty painful ones at the moment. And we respond in that way with these emotions, which might not make the best of choices. Let's put it that way. So. Yeah. So the Andromedans went all over the galaxy, and they're a kind of police. They're like kind of police force, really, but very gentle, it seems. Although they started out very gentle at first, because they didn't have to deal with the thugs of the reptilians, and now they have to deal with the reptilians, and, you know, they're having to deal more with the testosterone and what it does and how it affects them, and it's not so gentle and not so nice and not so pleasant to be. And how to deal with that, really. So, let's just mention tomorrow, in not this time slot, but the previous time slot, 11 PST, we're going to have another webinar given by Alex Collier, the third of these fundraising gigs. And if you go to wolfspiritradio.com, there's a poster there, third webinar, Alex Collier, that'll take you to the booking place, which is alexcollier.org, and then you will we got a little teaser for you, and enjoy. It should be a very interesting and uplifting affair. So, what's this? The SS from the Andromedans probably share the same order-loving people. Andronicus is starting to live without those rules, just bring in emotions. Possibly. Yeah, they're more crossing guards than police force. Yeah, that's probably more to the point. Yeah, border guards. It's like you don't have to worry too much.
Yeah, they made so many uniforms, they just had to put, you know, something in them.
Yeah. So, so the Andromedans, after they were released from the grip of the Archons, their version of the Archons, that they then started checking out the outposts all around, you know, their various territories, and finding all these other beings on there, and getting rid of the other lot. But they're basically chasing them into our galaxy, and they're going to end up on Earth, and they're currently in our solar system, and they've been messing up Neptune. That's today's part of the story. So, meanwhile, tomorrow we're going to have the webinar. So please, as I said, go along to alexcollier.org, and we should have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see how many people make it. The more the merrier. If you can, put the word around, Rob, around your posse.
Oh, yeah. Crumpets and tea. I'm looking forward.
Crumpets and tea, indeed. So, Full Spectrum Science. Andromedans. Alex Collier. Cliff High. Eagle Eye.
How about time travel? Light speed, manifestation.
Okay, time travel. That's another thing. Good question. Time travel. Another thing that apparently is impossible, but somehow people are managing. You know, how do they have? What is the nature of that time travel device? Did you ever see Torchwood?
Torchwood? No, I have not.
Torchwood. No. Torchwood. It's a spin-off of Doctor Who.
Oh no, I have not.
And the main character in that is called Captain Jack, who has a wristwatch-sized device that enables him to travel through time. Which, of course, Doctor Who confiscated from him. But somewhere there's a bunch of people making them, and they're probably making them on Mars. But this device is, I think Sean calls it a time runner, and I believe that Maria Orsic. Now, yeah, Maria Orsic. Let's just have a quick word about her, because she turns up in this story as an Andromedan. Did I repeat myself? I said this before, didn't I? Maria Orsic turns out to be an Andromedan who liked the taste of power and has basically chased power throughout the galaxy and knew that the Nazis were in on some sort of future power, which is the tyranny, right? So, you remember Alex Collier said, 800 years in our future, they look back and they see that tyranny began here, now. Do you remember that? Rob? Unmute your mic, Rob.
Hello.
Hi. Did you remember that bit about 800 years from now? Where tyranny has taken over the galaxy. Sorry, were you out of the room?
I'm just in the middle of a major rain downpour. Ah. Maybe you can hear.
Ah, yeah, great.
But it's okay. I'm rising through the energy here.
You're not open to the elements, are you?
If I want to be, but not currently, no.
All right. So anyway, we find Maria Orsic. Do you know who Maria Orsic is?
Yeah, you heard the name, yeah.
Yeah, let me just turn on my camera.
Okay. I just saw something funny. Wigs for bald eagles.
Wigs for bald eagles. Bald people for wigs. Can you see this?
Ah, Avril Lavigne? Oh, no, Vril.
Yeah, Avril Lavigne, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of looks like she'd be my sister.
Uh-huh. That's Maria Orsich.
Oh, wow.
Yeah? Do you know who she was?
Who was she?
She was one of the Vril Daman.
Ah, the Vrillin. The Vrillian.
Right, now, you see the spaceship that you've got in front of you? That you got as your avatar?
Mm-hmm.
The German, you know, what Rob has is the Hanabu with an iron cross on the side, UFO, and, you know, it's a flying saucer flying over a U-boat in the Antarctic. And it's a photograph. It's not a painting. It's a photograph.
And it's a photograph I received in a documentary from a man named Len Kasten.
Okay, so how did these fly? These things flew through a material which was called by the Nazi scientist Werner Erkat. He called it Serum 525. In the West, it's known as red mercury, and on Aldebaran, it's known as Vril. Okay, and you take a large amount of that. Now, it comes back to the beginning of the show. If you take a large amount of this, and you spin two cylinders filled with this stuff in opposite directions, then you create a gravitational field that repels the field of the planet, and the craft will lift off as if it has anti-gravity. But anti-gravity is not anti-gravity, it's just a wave, and you just need your own gravity to repel against the gravity of everything else that is pushing down on the planet.
Kind of like you were talking before about magnets.
Exactly. You see the connection, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different form of magnetism. Correct. It's actually a form of love.
Yeah.
So.
Well said.
Well, it's real. It's life energy. Yeah. So, your Hanabu craft actually ran using this material. Now, the design, the understanding of how this material works, that's Maria Orsich. That's how the Nazis got that information, through her. Now do you see the connection?
Beautiful. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that can all happen.
Yeah, and you didn't even know that, did you?
No.
You didn't know that. The knowledge of how to make UFOs, actually you could probably figure it out. The knowledge how to make UFOs that Nazis got came from Aldebaran, from extraterrestrials, through this woman called Maria Orsich and her Vril Daman,
Was she the muse then?
She was a channel, what we'd call like Jay-Z Knight. You know Jay-Z Knight, who channels Ramtha?
Ah.
You don't know Jay-Z Knight?
I just know Daryl Ankle.
Daryl Ankle, yeah, he'll do. Jay-Z Knight is she's a woman. She had long blonde hair, and she would step out of her body. She would basically die on stage, and then this other guy comes in.
Entity.
He calls himself Ramtha, and is a very ancient soul. Has all this wisdom. Blah blah blah. Blah. They got this school which is in Yell'ham, in Washington State. And they're all good people. They're, you know, nice people. Anyhow,
could we call that a walk-in?
Yeah, you could call it a direct channeling. You could, you know, there's lots of things you could call it. But that's what it is. That's how Ramtha is. So, essentially, there's something like that going on with our Vril Daman. Okay, so this is in the 1920s and 30s.
Well, I would think that if that was the case, then, you know, wanting to have that power, that communication, you would probably, you know, die for it. You know, you would turn nations against nations just to hold that secret.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it.
In my archive,
And that wasn't meant to be. Mm. If it would have been with Valiant Thor, it would have been a lot nicer.
Well, Valiant Thor. Well, anyway. He's another Aldebaranian. Yeah. So, in my archives is a book that I read out called Die Glocke. And it's all about the development of the bell, the Nazi bell, which developed into the Hanebu, which is what you're seeing in what I'm seeing in this picture here.
Fascinating.
And the Hanebu is the development of the bell. It's like a lower power version of it. It's just designed to kind of float up and down a bit, but the bell really cranks and really cranks up fast and is like a particle accelerator. It's like CERN. It's like a tiny version of CERN. And it was the thing that was chained to the Stonehenge thing in Germany. You know the German Stonehenge thing? You ever seen that? No? Unmute yourself, Rob. Rob, hello.
Did I make it through?
No.
Damn.
Did you hear about the Stonehenge in Germany that they had? It was made of concrete.
No, I did not, but I'd like to know more about the Stonehenge in Germany, please.
You've gone all squiffy on me. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
Please.
Well, sure. There's a valley called, I think it's Owl Mountain, in what is now Poland, but was in southern Germany, occupied Poland, and that's where they did the development of the Glocke, which was the Germans had a secret weapon. There was always the legend of the German secret weapon. Do you know what it was?
I don't know.
That was the Glocke.
Okay.
Right.
I do know that there was something going on in Antarctica, JP, but please expand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a parallel. They explored many things at the once. But they... this goes back even to Sumerian times.
Ah.
All of this.
The Sumer region.
Yeah. The Sumers are the Aldebaranians.
There we go. I knew we could get this puzzle put together, and the people listening would appreciate that. Thank you, JP. The Sumer.
Yeah, the Sumer are an Aldebaranian colony.
Amazing. That's big, my friend.
All right, so the Queen of Aldebaran was called what?
Sheba?
Close. Sharia.
Sharia. Oh, no, not Sharia law.
Oh,
please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, what is Sharia law? It's pretty Nazi, isn't it?
It's, yeah, I think it's degrading to women and to people, personally.
Yeah. So it's pretty Nazi. You know,
too much testosterone, too much yang, no bounce.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Hey, you look good there, buddy.
Yeah, thanks very much. That was... So... Hang on, I've got to go back to my chat room. There's the chat room. There's Vril Daman. The Vril Daman. The Vril Daman.
The Vril. Okay. What about the long hair, JP? Did the hair have anything to do?
Yes, I was just about to say.
Okay, please do, my friend.
Okay, so there, a few years ago, there was a document went around the internet saying the secret of long hair. And it cites a piece of research or a piece of sort of accidental discovery that during the Vietnam War they were looking for trackers, and they would recruit some Indian trackers who were brilliant at what they do. They found they tried to find the best Indian trackers, and they were great, and they did all their thing, and then they inducted them into the army, and then they cut their hair off, and they were fucking useless. Oops, sorry. But anyway, they no longer had their functionality, and so it then turns out that they discover it was the hair that is the antennae. And so we discover that these wise old men with the big old beards and the wise old women with long hair have the ability to tune in to things. And it's the psychic aerial, psychic antenna. And so these real German, they grew their hair to as long as they possibly could. Sometimes as long, you know, longer than their ankles. So that they can act as channels. And, you know, with every antenna, the longer the frequency, the longer the hair, the lower the frequency, the further the distance you can cover.
Human organic cable boxes.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's right.
Fascinating.
Satellite boxes.
Right.
So.
Instantaneous.
Mm.
Through time, travel, space, continuum from Aldebaran to planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The signals transmitted and were received. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
See? So, more fascinating stuff. And it is like Vanessa's saying, it's all getting tied together in a tight little package. It's all coming into focus. As it, you know, as it's been all evening, everything's kind of, I'm very interested to see what Sean is going to be talking about next. Because he's, you know, we're all connected into this quantum entanglement of what's going on here. And we're all acting out part of the theater. Whether we're audience, whether we're actor, or whether we're director. It's all getting tied together.
All the world is a stage, and we are merely players.
Exactly.
Performers and portrayers.
Ah, have you devised... This is from Red Lyra. Have you devised a list of the 12 major original off-world races yet and matched them up to the zodiac signs? That's actually, you know, this is my girlfriend's work. She's been talking about the 12 original races. It's her thing. I think that I'm probably not part of the 12 original races, which is why we've had so much conflict over the last 3 years. It's like, get off my planet. But, you know, here I am, and I'm here with you guys. Has Sam Muggsy done that? That would be interesting. 13 moons. 12 races, yeah. So there's the 12 tribes, there's the 12 signs of the zodiac, there's the 12 strands of DNA, there's the 12 chromatic notes in the scale, there's the 12 chromatic colors in the spectrum. Full spectrum, folks. Don't forget. So, yeah, there's 12 tied up with all of this.
And then you get the 12 times 12, which comes to be 144, which is significance with the, 144,000.
Well, you know, where does that number come from? What is that all about?
You know, I think they threw that at through Catholicism and through early level, maybe Lutheran, Methodist, and Christianity. They wanted you to know that. Whether it was true or not, we did not know, but... That's where I think it came from, and that would go back to the Count of Nicaea.
Yeah, and you know, some people are very literal, you know, because they think, oh, I'm going to join this group which will give me access to being one of the 144,000. And what does it mean to be one of the 144,000? It might not be a fun gig.
It might
mean just one day being crushed beneath the wheels of some tank somewhere. Just because somebody else isn't, you know.
Yeah, probably an illusion, hologram, like a lot of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Muggsy's site is freethinkingradio.com.
Nice.
And also...
Think free. Think free.
Exactly.
Free thinking.
Exactly. She started Wall Spirit Radio, was part of that same project, and, you know, we're all part of the same thing there. So, yes, that's it, Muggsy. M-U-G-Z-Z-I.
So, JP, I see you as a young JP.
You see me?
With the little magnets.
With little bald heads.
Remember, like, you had one
I was bald by the time I was five.
And you had one in the other, and you pushed them together, but they just wouldn't click sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then once in a while, you kind of looked away, and it clicked. Oh, it'd pinch your finger. You ever have that happen? My friend playing with the magnets. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Times in life.
We used to get magnets from TVs and from loudspeakers. That was our main source of magnets in those days. And yeah. The TV had the field focusing magnet, which was a great little thing, which had it was all North Pole on the inside, so the cathode rays would just go right in the middle. They wouldn't go anywhere else because they'd be repelled by the outside. Yes.
Yeah, and another little secret that people, maybe we should keep low key, but if you ever can go to a secondhand store or, if you ever find an old pair of speakers in that subwoofer, bottom section is a really nice magnet, folks.
Mm-hmm.
A really nice magnet. And if you can find two, you can play with JP.
If you can find two, don't eat them.
Just don't swallow. Right. Wordy.
I think that tonight's show is don't eat more than one magnet.
Perfect.
So, the Earth is expanding. Magnets are vortices. Gravity is a pushy force. Gravity is a wave. Archaeology is a lie. Oh yeah, let's debunk some archaeology while we're at it. Oh, do I have to blow it all in one show? Anyway,
it's okay. You can have me back, buddy.
The pyramids. The Egyptians. Were they Egyptian? Hieroglyphics. Were they written by Egyptians? How do you pronounce them? What's the accent? Who are the Aldebaranians? What is the ancient runic language got to do with Babylonian? There's lots of questions. I can ask loads of questions. You got any answers for that?
What has Zahi Hawass lied to us about, JP?
Everything. Okay. All right, here's a nugget for you, right? And it's this. I confronted Graham Hancock with this. I called into Art Bell's show a few months ago. And he had Graham Hancock on. I said,
Hello, Graham.
I said, would you confirm that the Sphinx has a dog's head and that there are two of them? And he paused for a moment and said, there are definitely two of them, but I don't agree with the dog's head. So that's another confirmation, because there's a mound beside it that is, sphinx-shaped. Now, here's the thing.
Thanks, Graham.
Anubis is the dog god, guardian. He's a guard dog. Have you ever seen a pharaoh dog, an Egyptian pharaoh dog? You ever seen one of those things?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Long, pointy ears, long, long legs. You ever seen a lion?
Only at the zoo.
Okay. Fat little paws, big wide face, big fat head, big ass, short legs. Right? If you put a picture of a pharaoh dog sitting down, no distortion, just sitting down with the same perspective as the Sphinx, you see the same thing. You see the same body. You put a lion next to that. Nope. Doesn't fit. Okay, so the Sphinx is a dog's body. Now, why would you have a lion as a guard? Because who are the guards? The dogs. So, the Sphinx is a reworking of a dog that has had its long neck and its head removed over the hundreds of thousands of years. They're now dating it at something like 800,000 years. That's, 750,000 years. Long enough to lose the pointy head. Long enough to lose most pointed bits.
Here okay. We go, JP. Does it have any connection to the dog star?
Well, there you go. Sirius.
Let's get serious. we've got Sirius A, Sirius B, and I just have vibration with the dog star and what you're talking about.
through Egypt there.
Well, yeah, and there's also Orion, because the pyramids have the belt of Orion form. You know, two in a line, and then one just off to the side.
A lot of kids named Ryan, Orion.
So,
interesting.
So there's Orion.
How much in line up there?
And in line with the way that people inhabit and colonize places, if you have a place and you design a great big design so that it can be seen from air, if not the space, that there's like a big human face, then that's saying that you're a human colony here. If, for instance, there is a big design that looks like Orion, made out of these big white... What would, you know, the pyramids were covered in limestone. They were white, and they gleamed in the sunlight. They would be like diamonds across the sand. And so you would see them from a very, very long way away, maybe even from space. And you could see that if you looked back at Orion and then looked down at the Giza complex, you'll see that that's the form. So it's an Orion colony. That's what it signifies. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
And all right.
I just am thinking of the Sumer and the Andromedan here. It's connecting. It's amazing.
All right. So we've got the dogs. So here's the dogs, right? So there's two dogs. You always have, you know, a couple of guard dogs either side. And there they are guarding the pyramid, guarding the entranceway to the chambers that take you to Orion and the Dog Star and that whole place.
Who let the dogs out?
Indeed. We have a... So we've got connections with Aldebaran. We got connections with Sirius. We got connections with Orion. And there's other things. I mean, like what the reason that we have pyramids and what the pyramids do. Have you ever heard that pyramids desiccate things?
No.
You know what desiccate means?
Desiccate?
Yeah.
No. Oh. Just defecate. But no. Desiccate.
Desiccate means to dry out.
Okay.
To remove the water content from.
My mind's still in Sirius right now.
As in coconut. Have you not looked in your mum's cupboard and seen a bag of desiccated coconut? Back to coconut.
Not lately.
All right. Desiccated coconut is dried flakes of coconut.
Okay, right, in their cookie bag.
Yes, in the
lower shelf.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, right.
It means dried. It means water removed from. So, what they discovered is that when you put something into a pyramid form, it dries out. It mummifies, in fact. It desiccates. The water content is removed from it. Yeah? So, if you think that, what if you put lots of water into a pyramid then? Where would all that water go? Thoughts, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to go all flat earth on you, but what about the firmament? Have you ever heard of a thing called the firmament?
Heard of, but need to be expanded more on firmament, please.
All right. Okay, so imagine in the long distant past, what we had between us and space was a sphere of ice that was clear, that allowed light through. That was like a greenhouse, really.
Mm-hmm.
And kept the planet nice and stable. Yeah?
Yeah, luminescent, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fractal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, this firmament was a layer of ice. So, how would you make a layer of ice? So here's my thought, right? More of my weird thoughts is that there did used to be a firmament, and that there was an ice shield that was the firmament, and the ice shield was created by building pyramids near to rivers
like the Nile. And what would then happen is that the water would be turned into plasma, passed through the pyramid, drawn up into the atmosphere, hit the cold layer of outer space, and form ice crystals that then formed like an upside down stalagmite.
Stalactite?
Yeah.
In the caves, yeah. When they drip? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, so imagine water dripping upwards until it hits something cold, like the boundary of Earth's atmosphere. Right?
It's...
And then it will start collecting and start building up like a big plate sitting up there.
I'm getting this vision of cold fusion and reverse physics.
Yeah, it's all like that. And then imagine if you had pyramids all over the world that were doing this.
Yes.
Then eventually plates would seal up like the skull of a baby as it gets older.
Wow.
And thus we have another layer of ice around our planet. They call that the firmament.
And so plasma generation.
Mm-hmm. From water.
Fascinating.
Indeed.
Really? Yeah. If you think about it, from a scientific molecular, you know, that's just amazing. You know, and we're led to believe that the people back then were dumb and, you know, they were so much more advanced. But please continue. I find this just great. And
well, that's exactly. Right? The mindset that tells you that stuff.
Right.
That's the opposite of what I'm talking about today.
Yes.
That's the narrow band, the narrow spectrum of mm-hmm. science that is, you know, kind of applies almost, you know. It'll apply to your skateboard, but it won't apply to your hoverboard.
Right, for those tenured professors, not for the rogue writers.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we're nearly coming up to Strange Universe. I'm fascinated. I wonder what the zeitgeist is going to pour through Sean today.
Well, JP, I really think we've touched on some nice topics today, mm-hmm. and I just want to thank you for letting me be part of this fascinating conversation, because mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Jessica said, you know, there's parts of the puzzle and, you know, everyone plays a little part, but it's like you're helping connect us, you know, you're the solid board that the puzzle is on now, and you know, everyone has to have a little part, and it seems like your view and your thoughts and your methodology is really I don't want to keep saying the word fascinating, but I mean it's enlightening, and it's speeding up the knowledge, and it's helping people, helping the listeners here at Wolf Spirit, and it's something that is positive. So thank you, JP, for expanding consciousness, you know, and from a scientific perspective and having an open mind.
All right, yeah, thank you very much, Rob, for accompanying me on this little bit of journey. So join us in a few minutes. I'm going to I don't know if this is an intro bumper or an outro bumper or whatever, but it might just have the same. It might be the same as the beginning. But anyway, so thank you very much for listening to Full Spectrum, and I'll be back some other time.
Yes. Here, everyone. It's really worth spending the time there, folks.
We discuss the science that is behind the science that is invisible in the dark corners of recesses of the secret space program. Dark research.